Hello, this is Tim Shields, and you are listening to Celtics Pulse Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. We have an amazing app, guys, game-changing app here, Pulse Podcast Network. We've got a slew of different apps on there, different pods. We've got trying to expand to every single team and topic. So if you've got any other ideas that you want us to add to our network, please give us a DM. We've got pop culture, we've got all the major sports teams, and we're looking to grow. So with that being said, we are also running a promo for Thrive Fantasy. It is a fantasy betting app. The link is in our bio. Use that link and double your first deposit. Other than that, we are working on the Celtics tonight. So guys, we've got Lewis on here today with us.
Primetime PD on Twitter.
And we also got Derek on as well.
Hey, guys, what's up? Derek at Sporting Dad on Twitter.
So, guys, we're working on a five-game winning streak with the boys in green. One thing I do want to note is the fact that ever since Aaron Baines came back, Celtics have been riding a five-game win streak. For Baines, the all of Australia, we've got 4 out of 5 games. He had a positive plus-minus. The only game where he had a negative was actually against Miami. He was a negative 22, and he had a bind plus minus of 29 over that 5-game streak as we go into Saturday with a matchup with the Warriors. Guys, what are your thoughts?
Baines has been the big difference maker there. I mean, he's provided obviously somebody in the middle who that Brad Truss, was announced today. Rob Williams got sent down to Maine. So obviously they Baines is their guy as far as being the big stout rim defender, and he can stretch the floor a little bit on the offensive end as well. We've all seen him knock down a three here.
Yeah, I think it's important, put him back in the middle on defense, and it's not just like an open lane for any and everybody to just run through and get an easy bucket. He actually defends, and I like the Time Lord. I think he tries. He's still raw, so I think having Baines back is definitely making a big difference.
I think it's good to see when we've had a lineup with Horford and Time Lord out there to kind of see how Williams is learning how to play with another big like Horford who can stretch the floor. Eventually, we're going to get to the point where we're going to see him starting to shoot from range. I don't know when that's going to happen, when we're going to see it, but I would expect them to try and. Year three, you think? I think it'll be year two.
I mean,
hear me out. We brought Baines in. You don't really see Baines shoot threes very often before he came here. But because of the Celtics system, in order to keep players and teams honest on defense, they've kind of had to learn to all shoot threes. So going off of that, I think the whole reason why they're sending him back to Maine is because, as you were saying, we've got Baines back in the fold. And I think it's important for Williams to just develop. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that come playoff times, he's going to be able to give you, 15 to 20 solid minutes off the bench and really provide a spark plug on defense, because the guy's just a blocking machine. I think once he just learns how the team works together on defense, I mean, he's a great passer naturally. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of fits into that mold as we go into the season. But,
having Baines back is too big. He's super athletic, so it's not like he's one of these lumbering bigs that can't, they can't run the floor. He can actually get down pretty quickly, so that's also going to work in his favor.
No, I agree. I mean, using him in transition is, I think the difference between him and Baines is in transition and also with the alley-oop, But as far as you guys, talking about him developing a shot, he might not ever be that guy. I mean, plenty of guys are in the league that don't shoot threes, that play the five like that, DeAndre, Drummond.
Drummond, yeah.
I mean, Tyson Chandler. I mean, there's plenty of examples.
Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Clint Capella is my favorite example.
Capella?
Hassan Whiteside's a bum, though. I hate that guy's game. Oh, yeah. My God.
There's a reason why they feasted on us, though. He's a really good rebounder, but, man, like, he conned Miami out of that money.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I would agree on that, but, I mean, at the end of the day, with Williams, if he never turns into a three-point shooter, that's not a bad thing. I mean,
you can live with that.
One of the best shot-blocking prospects, players, whatever you want to hyperbole you want to use, he's just unreal at his timing and his athleticism, and he's got, obviously length for days. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see numbers in Maine that are going to be like video game stuff if you know, that's my prediction here. He'll be putting up double doubles with, you know, triple doubles with 10 plus blocks. You know, I just think he's a monster.
And he's not he's not going to be a glamorous guy. Like, he's going to be one of those guys that comes in, he throws his body around. You've kind of already seen that with him now. And he's just going to go rip off boards, rip off blocks like crazy. And he just gets them so casually and with ease. It's absurd.
Hey, I made a joke the other day on Twitter, and I think not a lot of people might have seen it. He went and he had a block. I forget what game it was. And I said, oh, he has the timing of Greg Steensma, which pretty much means he has the timing of Bill Russell. So
I know, man. I miss Tommy, by the way. Let's give a shout out to Tommy. Get well, buddy. I know Tommy, he's been having some issues. We miss Tommy, but yeah, man. Tommy,
get well soon, man.
You know who used to do that? Bill Russell, Michael Jordan. he's the best. He would be. The Bill Russell Jordan comparisons might not ever stop if he sees Rob Williams. And Bill might have to. I think Bill would be calling him like, "All right, dude, I'm Bill Russell.
I'm a little miffed, man.
I'm kind of.
I didn't win 11 championships for no fucking reason, you know?
Yeah, like I love Time Lord, but he's. I don't think he's Bill Russell, but he's still going to be a very good player. And I mean, again, but you know, with Baines coming back, it gives the team a toughness too. Like Rob Williams is a great shot blocker. But Baines is like a legit, like, you saw the two attempts that they were taking runs at him in the lane, and he just doesn't give a shit. Like,
he goes up, man. He does not give a damn.
No, if you poster him, he's like,
catches multiple bodies, man, every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the craziest names, man. I mean, you got Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, now Baines. Like, you've got some real grit here, whereas, you know, If you're matching up against other teams, I don't know if there's another team in the league that can match the finesse and toughness balance that the Celtics have. So I think this team is built for the playoffs. I think that's kind of why.
Come April and May, hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers. I'm praying to the gods, all 12 of them or wherever. Hopefully, his face looks like himself again. God, I blinked on his name. White boy, number 20 there.
Hayward,
yes, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Gordon! So, yeah, I mean, Gordon has...
Hopefully he looks like three-fourths of himself.
Now he's kind of been, he's
just not aggressive enough.
Yeah, it's tough to say because who can, like, accurately say, oh, I've come back from my leg snapping in half? Like, yeah, Paul George, that's it. Paul George didn't come back and, you know, burn the world down right away. I mean, it took him a little bit.
It took him a season and a half,
So, I mean, I want to give Gordon a pass for now, but it's tough, man.
How long do you give him a pass for?
Postseason, man. Postseason, all bets are off. If he's sucking, he's not going to see
it's
the floor.
Not like he's had, it's not like he's having bad games. Like, he'll have bad games.
Yeah, he hasn't been terrible. I mean, exactly. It's just been inconsistent.
There's been a lot of nights where he's been invisible is the problem. Like, I want him, when he's running the second unit, I want him to have the confidence of Brad Wanamaker. I swear to God. If you see Wanamaker play, this kid plays like he's fucking, I don't know who, John Wall maybe. He just goes out there, he runs
Wanamaker,
his game.
He's got nothing to lose, too. I mean, I think that's a big part, too. Like, he's like...
Does Gordon Hayward at this point, though, does he? I mean, what do you really have to lose?
I mean, there's a lot more expectations with Gordon Hayward. Wanamaker, whatever you get from him is, like, sweet. Gordon was signed to be Gordon was signed to be the number 2-3 guy on this team, and that's obviously
for sure number two.
And that's what I still see. What I still see it being that way. By the way, I know Tatum's been great. Jaylen's been a lot better.
You look at
Marcus
Smart.
Smart
has been unbelievable. That's my guy.
Yeah, who doesn't love if you're a Celtic fan and still talk shit about Marcus Smart? Because I had Celtics fans a year or two ago still being like, "Oh yeah, he can't shoot." Well, that's dead. This dude can shoot.
Public apologies from everybody who doubted him.
Ridiculous how he's been shooting, man. I have to check and see where his percentiles are at, but at one point recently, he had a higher three-point percentage than fucking Klay Thompson.
Yep.
Yeah, now, it's similar to Klay, though. You get open looks when you're on a good team. So he's his shot selection's improved. The Celtics are healthy, so he's not like... You know,
his shot selection.
The one thing I will say is his shot selection used to be really, really rough. And he still would chuck up like crazy shots sometimes. But he has the confidence and the form now that he can hit those harder to take looks. You know, he's just gotten more consistent. And it's really awesome to watch, because that's the kind of the one thing that they really just pick apart Marcus on. And even now, he still does this where it'll be like, oh, he'll take an ill-advised shot. And it'll be like, okay, all right, hustle back on defense, makes an amazing play, oh, snags the rebound, immediately runs it up the floor and just gets a makeup bucket. Like, mm-hmm. he's and one of those guys who's such a – oh, yeah, unmatched. There are very few other players like that. Passer. Did you see there was a behind-the-back bounce pass he had to Williams the other night? Yeah, that was just a beauty.
That was fucking nasty.
Speaking of beautiful – I mean, that Kyrie is looking for Marcus Smart. Like, he knows where he is, and he's – like set up in the corner, and that through the legs pass where they were kind of in transition for a wide open three. I mean, Kyrie is starting to get, is obviously caught on. Like, all right, this guy is a 3-point gunner.
Has changed from last year too. Last year, the guy, mostly Jaylen Brown, I used to see it. He used to look at Marcus Smart open in three, and he used to go elsewhere with it, which used to piss me off to no end. Like, pass the fucking rock, Jaylen, please.
That's not one of his strong points, Jaylen. I mean, Jaylen's been a lot better lately. So I actually we've been harsh on Jaylen a little bit this year because he fully struggled a little bit, but he's come around. You know,
he's riding a hot streak, man.
Good for a solid. Maybe it's been a month now. Like, he's been really
been
good.
About a month,
so,
yeah.
So I mean, the whole team is really starting to click. I know. Yeah, I think, you know, we discussed this off air here that since Marcus Smart was inserted into the starting lineup, they have the best record in the East.
They have the best plus minus rating in the league. They have the best net rating.
Yeah, so like the Marcus Smart effect is real, but also the team is starting to click. And, you know, I mean, to anybody who ever said one ill word about Brad Stevens and didn't give him time to figure this out, just like, can you learn this time? Can you learn? Top three coach in the league. I don't think there's much of an argument.
I never thought it was coaching was the problem. I think it's just a matter of figuring out how the team fits together. I don't think that's necessarily just the coaching. I think it's on the players to a certain degree to figure out how the pieces all fit together and how they need to adjust their own play styles in order for, you know, them to fulfill the coach's vision. I think Kyrie's definitely stepped it up. I mean, lately, he's been dishing out assists, as we were talking about with him and Marcus. I mean, that 18 assists
into the MVP, discussion. Kyrie is.
He's definitely an MVP. He's definitely in there. It's Harden, and then there's a little bit of a drop. Sorry, Giannis is
Harden, Giannis, and then Kyrie's in that top 5, 6, 7.
Kyrie and Kawhi are right there, you know, and then you've got.
I mean, Kawhi might only play half the season though. At this rate,
What the fuck is his deal? Hang on. With the
free agent, he's gonna be a free agent. He doesn't want to get hurt. It's really that simple.
Don't blame him. I don't blame him. If he goes into the playoffs and he balls out and he plays every game, balls to the wall.
I think he will.
I'm almost expecting it.
I don't know. At this point, I don't know what to expect out of Kawhi, because everything that I thought I knew about Kawhi before all the Spurs drama, and even like watching last year, I'm like, man, he must be dealing with something chronic. And then like the real truth coming out where he's just constantly just taking care of his own ass and that's all he cares about. That to me reads as a guy who is more selfish than we realize.
That's different for me because I knew nothing of Kawhi in San Antonio. I knew he was really good.
Well, that's the thing.
And that's all
exactly. He never read as selfish to me. That's the thing. And maybe that's just, you know, a misread on my part. You know, with the whole Jimmy Butler situation too, you know, he has come in the limelight as a really selfish player. And that took years. I mean, that took him walking into multiple locker rooms and then like leaving just destruction in his path. And now
I'm so glad we didn't trade for Jimmy Butler. My God.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, I remember us getting clowned for it all over the place for not trading. No,
Jimmy Butler or Paul George. I would have, obviously, in hindsight, I think Paul George.
I would have loved Paul George. Story,
but he's a better player, dude. I know that's like a very popular
He ain't Twitter clutch, poll. But he's a good player.
He's changing that this year, man. And I try to tell everybody, man.
Yes, he is. He is.
It's because he's in OKC. I think that the problem is he's with OKC now. And you're right. Yeah, a lot of averages, he'll get better. But I think playing in OKC, it's different. It's a different market. We don't see their games that often. And to be honest, I really don't like Russell Westbrook's.
Well, the Pacers aren't exactly LA. So, I mean.
No. But at one point, they were the best team in the East. When they had that squad at Hibbert and West and PG.
Remember that? I mean, well, it's one thing, though. It's kind of like the David Price effect. Like, you give him enough tries, he's too talented not to get it. And that's kind of what's happening. I mean, I think George, I would love to see the Thunder make a run. But at the end of the day, unless Golden State has Durant or – I think Durant is the big one. Or Steph to a lesser effect. I mean, I love Steph, but, I mean, Durant's just – Durant. So, if one of those two gets hurt, maybe we could talk about Oklahoma City or any other team in the West. What's that?
Yeah.
Or even Houston. Yeah, because, I mean, Houston is one of those teams, too. Here's the thing is it's all Harden. What happens if, you know, he has a bum night?
Like, or a series. Well, two games, game 6 and 7 last year where he just didn't have it. Mm-hmm.
It sucks that they signed Chris Paul to all that money, man. Chris Paul is making a stupid amount of money.
Like, that's tough because, like, when they're in that scenario where you're like, when Paul was healthy, they looked unbelievable. Like, they looked like they could beat Golden State. And now.
And then he went down, what was it, with a hamstring or whatever. And then.
It's always a hamstring with him.
Yeah.
So, speaking of injuries, though, I think we got to address Depot.
Yeah, Depot. Yeah, I mean, one of the fan favorite. I don't think anybody doesn't like Depot. And yeah, man, just hope he gets. You know, it sounds like it's going to be.
It's a long way.
I hope he'll be back for the beginning of next year, but I'm not counting on it.
Ruptured right quad.
I don't even know how that happens. One, two. The thing where that impacts the Celtics is what they're how many games in front of us now? Not a lot.
Well, let's get an update, but it is close. But no, we definitely are chasing them.
You pulling that up?
Yeah, I mean, we want Depot to get better, but if we're looking at this from a basketball perspective, Indiana just got worse.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. So
we are, my strong suit, 3 games behind the Pacers. And who do they really have? You know, they have
Miles Turner.
They've got Sabonis,
they've got Biggs, and they've got Sabonis. You know those 3 guys. My guy, really? Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich can every night, man. Just look at the stat line.
He can ball
20 points.
Yeah,
he can ball. But I think they're obviously going to be missing star power. You know,
they're not going to be as good. Depot is a top 20 player. I don't think there's. I think he's easily a top 20.
Absolutely.
Most improved player last year, right?
Most improved player, and which is kind of funny because, like, given somebody. I never understood the most improved player to me shouldn't be like a young kid that obviously got better. That's supposed to happen, but whatever. I mean, it's going to happen again.
He made a significant leap, though. Like, it's such a large leap. And I think part of that, too, was just not playing with Westbrook and then going to a team and being the man.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was the man in Orlando, or at least they tried to made him.
Yeah, but he was so young.
He was really young in Orlando. Yeah. I think Orlando screwed up by giving up on him.
Yeah, Orlando gave up. They gave up on him and Tobias, by the way, but that's...
How did Orlando end up... Yeah, dude, that one's hard, too. I remember way back when Tobias Harris was a free agent, the Celtics were rumored to be interested in him, and, you know, they were talking about money. You're like, oh, he's not worth it. Like, now it's like, oh, well, he's probably going to get near max money this year because he's falling out. I'm happy.
One of the biggest deals.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Orlando traded him when he was, like, 23. I was like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? But... All right, Orlando is going to, constantly rebuild and never
actually
let anybody.
They did fire their
anybody...
GM, though, right? They fired their GM.
They did, like, 3 GMs, I feel like, over there.
Right, I know.
They got a newer one, like, recently. But, like, they have just made a slew of just terrible deals. I don't get it. They have, like, they're running into the same problem that Philly had. And this is what makes me think, like, they will eventually get another GM. Because they keep drafting guys, and now you have to figure out, like, how you're going to fit them together. So, like, they have Jonathan Isaac, you've got Mo Bamba, and you've got Aaron Gordon. And, like, where are you going to play them? Like, you obviously have to optimize Gordon's play, right? Like, where are you going to put him in the lineup when Isaac has to play the four? I know, exactly. So, and he plays better power forward.
Bismack Biyombo, a gazillion dollars.
Oh, my God. Fucking what a Biyombo, man.
That was because of the playoff run, though. Remember that playoff
run? He had one good playoff run. He had one good playoff run, I think it was. Yeah.
That was Toronto, right? When he was in Toronto?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet but get him back to the Cavs, standings,
even
right?
He got smoked.
Standings. The Pacers right now sit at the 3 seed. We're, you know, call it 3 games back from them. 3 in the loss column.
We're a 4th right now?
We're behind 5th.
Philly. Yeah, we're right behind Philly.
Dude, if you look at the standings, every team in the top of the East is just killing it.
So I think
someone's going to slow down.
Yeah, well, exactly. The Pacers obviously will. I don't know how long the Bucks can keep up this pace.
The Bucks might be able to. They're pretty good. I mean, they're good. Who knows, but
Giannis still can't shoot. Is my thing.
But at least he tries. I mean, he shoots threes, dude. I've seen him hit threes. He'll pull up a three and hit it.
Yeah, he's hit about 7 of them this year.
But whatever. I mean, with him being just so dominant, getting to the hole and like just owning
every
the
team
paint
not
area.
Have a Semi Ojeleye. Or is that just
well, and even like yeah, Shemmy can like do a better job than some on him, but that's just mainly muscle. I don't know if he like can really like. It's the old saying:
no player has that wingspan.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you have to make him carry their offense because I remember reading an article talking about, you know, as we get closer to the deadline. I think this is on Bleacher Report. Just give him a little shout out. As if they freaking need it anyway. But they were talking about different playoff teams and their needs, and like the Celtics needed to be more consistent. The Bucks needed more shooting because, like, outside of, let's say, Giannis, Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon.
Bledsoe's been good. I mean, I know Terry kind of had his way with them last year, but Bledsoe's been good this year. I mean, that's.
How many of these guys do you really trust in the playoffs? Right, like
that's the thing.
Middleton and Giannis.
Yeah,
Middleton,
that's it.
And maybe
that's
Brook Lopez. Dude, Middleton, I could see
Lopez. Dude, Middleton's so Brooke fucking Lopez. Good. Lopez was a sneaky pickup, though. Sneaky pickup.
Sneaky good,
His 3-point shot has just been – he's worked on it, like, clearly the past, like, 3 years. And, like, he started hitting them in L.A., and then he's just been better ever since.
He's a gunner, man. He's a gunner now. Sneaky team to look out for, I think, is Washington. They've been on a fucking
tear. Well, I think they're going to sell, though. That's the thing. I don't know if they really want to make the playoffs.
I don't think they
have any interest in making the playoffs. I think they're trying to sell. Players.
They should. They should tank. They should try and get honestly, they should try and tank for Zion.
No, I don't know if they're that bad.
Well, you got to see. It could be a Nick Cavalier, Bull.
He's gonna be a Cavalier. You know, that's just the way.
I hope that poor kid doesn't end up in freaking New York. I would feel so terrible.
Dan Gilbert has the NBA.
They'll ruin
balls.
Him. Yeah. Anytime, they will ruin him.
But I mean, somebody reported that the Celtics had shown interest in Bradley Beal, which
that was also Bleacher Report.
I'm a big
Raptors
Beal
and Beal. Raptors and Celtics for Beal.
But can you play Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving together? One.
Sure.
Yes.
He's making a ton of money going forward.
He's not bad. See, that's actually – he's not John Wall money.
He's 25.
Yeah, so getting to that bit. Here's the problem because – and this is the issue that I face every single time I see any Celtics trade rumors of people being like, well, the Celtics are showing interest in Bradley Beal, and they're going to give up – you know, they could give up Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, a pick in either Morris or Baines. And it's like, that's great.
Why would
you know,
anybody
that
do that?
Sounds awesome, but here's a fucking problem. It's $25 million. You're over the cap. You're close to luxury, if not over the luxury tax line right now. In order to do any of these trades that people propose, you have to be giving out more salary than you are taking in. So you have to equal that 25 mil or have to be just over that line. So as great as it would be to go and get Bradley Beal, the amount of salary that you have to move in order to get him is absurd. Because you've got Hayward, you've got Horford, and you've got Kyrie. Those are the three dudes who are going to pay the most. Then you have a massive gap, and then the most after that is Jason Tatum. That's how big of a gap you have. Marcus that's when Smart you have to make up a trade.
Right?
Smart isn't going anywhere.
He better not. I'll burn the Garden to the ground if they trade Marcus Smart.
That'd be so sick.
Yeah, I mean, if you can add Bradley Beal and give up, you know, like you said, Jaylen. I mean, but Beal's 25. He's so young.
And it's the perfect pairing with Kyrie. He's going to figure core for the future, but it's just, it depends on how it impacts your summer. And this is something I've talked about before where, like, if it's going to impact your long terms for AD, you know, maybe don't do it. But at the same time, you're not even sure if you're going to be able to get him.
But I think Beal would actually increase your odds of getting AD.
Well, if you were going to flip him, or would you think
use him for this year because you'd get better this year. And then, you know, come next year, if they're looking for a young, proven all-star like Bradley Beal to package with, you know, some of our younger or our draft picks or whatever. I mean, I just think it's an interesting because basically my point on this was, though, is like they're not mutually exclusive. Like you can't, like if you get Beal, it doesn't mean AD is done. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
I mean, I think getting Beal would boost your chances of actually going to the finals this year and having a legitimate chance. Sorry, go on. You were about to say something, Lou.
Yeah. Do you guys view anybody on this team as untouchable? You know, for any
Tatum.
Tatum's pretty close. Kyrie probably is. But again, if like Minnesota Timberwolves are like, hey, we'll give you a cat, I think that's a no-brainer. But
I will drive Kyrie to Minnesota myself.
Really?
Not just to Logan.
I want to be clear on this. I just think Cat's very young and
me too.
He's 7 feet tall and he's like he's just a stud. But I'm just giving a hypothetical like, or
I love Kyrie.
Or if the Bucks were like, hey, Kyrie for Giannis, no one is saying no to these offers.
I'm only saying this because Kyrie still hasn't put Kyrie
pretty much is untouchable because these are getting traded. So I'm just, you know.
Kyrie becomes untouchable once he signs that max here. Because, you know, you hear a lot of things, and even Kevin Love.
That'd be a tough contract, too, man. Like, you're looking at, like the Wiz right now are like, oh, we can try to trade Wall, but, like, who wants a $40 million John Wall in 2021?
No one's going to
Kyrie gets less than that, right? Kyrie gets less than that because he's been traded, and
I don't know. I'm not a capologist.
He wouldn't get the Supermax, because that's what Wall got.
That's why Kawhi turned down.
It's the same thing with Chris Paul and how he's able to get that ridiculous contract is because of how he was traded and how many years he's been in the league.
My God, he finessed the shit out of the Rockets.
He really did because like he's nowhere near the player he was. And like, granted, I think Chris Paul is still a very good player, but he's just riddled with injuries. His knees are absolute shit. And he hasn't been able to play a full season in how long or near full season. He's the whole reason why they lost in the playoffs because they didn't have him. Imagine if they hadn't spent all that money and all those assets to get him. And you just played hard and then you tried to find, you know, a better
fit. But in hindsight, they gave up Patrick Beverley. Like, and who else did they give up in that deal? I'm like,
Montrezl Harrell.
Okay, like he's a guy. I mean, I would take Chris Paul. Even if it's for like, yeah, he's had a good year. He's been solid, but in the playoffs, a banger like his compared to a guy like Chris Paul, who can
I'll tell you what,
I get it, but how many games did he play last year?
Smarter than what?
Yeah,
I think all but that last game seven, right when he went down.
Game six, he was out. He got hurt.
Yeah, game six. Sorry, yeah, before the
six and seven, he was out. But and they. I think it was the difference in the series, but you know, especially
it definitely was.
Game six was in Houston. So that was very, you know, possible if Paul was there. But without Paul, and then you also had, what's his name, Ariza, went 0-for-12 in that game. Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
The whole team sucked, but.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Getting back to the whole Bradley Beal thing, I mean, in terms of money, with what you'd be working with for the Celtics, I think money-wise you'd be looking at Brown, Morris, Baines, Terry, probably Yabu, and then maybe one more other guy to make that money work.
I don't know if they would do both Baines and Morris. There's no other way. There's got to be another way.
Unless you're moving Smart or unless you're moving Horford.
Smart's untouchable to me. I will die.
I don't think Smart is getting traded either. I mean, unless it was like a straight-up deal, but if you're talking Jaylen and Marcus, I don't think the Celtics would do that.
No.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think they should, at least. I don't know. Like, all jokes aside, I love Marcus Smart more than the average person. I've proposed to my wife on many occasions. We changed my daughter's middle name to Marcus Smart. She said no. But I wouldn't part ways with Jason Tatum for AD. That's my one untouchable.
Obviously, yeah, I've said similar, but I could be – if I don't know if Danny agrees, by the way.
He probably doesn't. He probably doesn't. Yeah. But I think if we do end up making that move, we're going to look back maybe 10 years like, shit, we – Jason Tatum, you know. And Anthony Davis is injured often. He's amazing. He's out of this world. Now. Yeah, he break like a thumb or something?
Yeah, a finger. That's kind of fluky. It's not like a knee thing. Is it though? It's something you have to worry about it.
And also, how many times?
Marcus Smart done it, and so did
Smart.
Didn't win. He's different. I could be convinced, you know, if y'all, basically you're telling me if you get Anthony Davis, you're giving up, you know, Tatum plus, you're going to have to make the salaries work. So I would need to,
you're probably going to have to do like a sign and trade with, to include Terry, and maybe one more piece to make the money work. I don't know how much AD's making, but something along those lines.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, you, with all the trade talk, I just don't think the Celtics make a deal unless there's some way that they are going to be able to fill the holes in their depth chart after the fact, you know, with either buyouts or small trades or cash considerations or something like that.
That's another thing. I haven't heard many names coming out of the buyout market. I mean, like,
I haven't either, but I mean, usually that shit happens after the trade deadline.
Talking about Carmelo Anthony.
No.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't either, but it's interesting. I mean, if you want to take a flyer, but I don't know if it's,
imagine the risk.
Imagine Carmelo Anthony in this locker room with these assholes who already think they're a lot better than they are. I'm looking at you, Jaylen Brown.
That's strong.
It's strong. It is
Morris. Like, guys in that locker room, that would be. And I think he's been humbled. By the way, you don't think Melo's been humbled? I mean, come on, dude.
I think he has been. Yeah.
Morris and or Marcus Smart would have to slap him across the chest twice after pulling his little one-on-one ISO bullshit. You know, like, leave that to Jason Tatum, bro.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think it'll be interesting to see where the Celtics try and improve on. I mean, I think the big thing is they probably want to add some shooting off the bench. Lest we forget that they also went out and got R.J. Hunter back on a two-way deal.
R.J. Hunter.
So
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I don't think that's gonna ever come into play. But they did sign him. I mean, they had something in mind, yeah. I guess.
So we have to see what happens with Terry.
Yeah, we're gonna need Terry. I think Rozier has to be gone at the deadline. He's a piece going forward.
I'm torn on Terry. I think it makes sense to move him because he's gonna walk after this year, and I mean,
why I think they'd keep him is because you still own his rights and you can do a sign and trade with New Orleans.
But are they going to want him when they have...
Fuck that, we'll just sign him. Like, you know?
But they would have like better chance of doing it because they would have to battle with other people in free agency to get him. But also at the same time, why the hell would they want him when they've got Jrue Holiday? And unless they think Terry's like going to magically pairing the backcourt with him.
Drew can play the two, though, because they've got Peyton playing the one a lot. So,
and he's on a one-year deal, isn't he?
Who, Peyton or Drew?
Peyton.
I think he is.
I think so, yeah.
Didn't they get him from the Suns?
Yeah.
They did.
Kicking his tires for a year.
Did he cut his hair?
Yeah. He did. He's no longer the Weeknd.
Yeah.
So he cut his hair. I like Peyton, man.
That was an ugly-ass haircut, man.
I know.
Well, to wrap it up, guys, what are you guys thinking about Saturday? Obviously going toe-to-toe with Golden State, riding a five-game win streak. What are your thoughts?
I think we win because we're at home. Everybody's going to be rested. Everybody's going to be healthy. If you're buying Kyrie. If you buy in that Kyrie has the flu, you're a fool. That's just him resting up, getting his knees extra ice because he's, you know, he's prepared for that national game. It's going to be a close game, but I think we come out on top just because we're home.
It'll be close.
I think, it might be close. I actually think Golden State is very much looking at the Celtics and are going to get up for this game. And they want revenge because the Celtics have had their number. It's kind of weird, like, because, you know, Golden State is one of the best teams ever, if not the best team ever. And the Celtics have really had their number, like, over the past couple years. So, you know, they had a game in Boston last year where Golden State was leading for a lot of the game, and then, you know, Celtics pulled it out in the fourth. I think Golden State might be a different team this time and will be giving us their if not playoff effort, pretty close to it. So I think this will be it's tough to pick against the Celtics at home, one, you know, 9 in a row, 10 in a row, whatever it is, and been on a roll, but I think
it's Golden State is
due to beat the Celtics. Like, it's due to happen. They're too good. I don't know though, man. What do you think?
Man, I made mine.
I think it'll be a close game. I think the Celtics will eke it out just because they've got all this momentum going. Having Baines back is going to be big. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Rob Williams gets recalled before Saturday. I know it's only like a day or so away, but maybe they pull him back in. But, I mean, it's hard to say. It's kind of a drive to get back from Portland. We'll see what happens. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be within 10, maybe like 8 or 9 points. I think it's going to be 8 or 9 point swing. But I think it'll probably be a game of runs. And I think we'll see a lot of Kyrie getting into his bag. And he'll probably have another good game. I think I'm thinking like 34 and 10 with maybe like 5 or 6 boards maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun, man. I think that this game, you know,
make a pick, Derek. Make a pick. Give me something.
It's hard to, man. I think he's gonna pick Golden State. Respectfully, I get that.
I don't know. I'm very interested to see what the spread is. What does Vegas think? I don't know if it's up. I doubt it's up now. It's only Thursday. But you know, I will. We're recording this on a Thursday night. But yeah, I'll take a look here. I mean, if the Celts are getting points, I would be inclined to probably take those points, and I think it'll be a close game. But I don't know, man. This will be this is one of those ones where I if I was a gambler, I wouldn't touch, because I could see Golden State coming in with a chip on their shoulder, like, this team has, you know, beat us more than once over the last few years, and they're you know, probably the most talented on paper team in the East. So I could see them getting up for it, but we'll see, man. I'll be there, so I will. I'll be posting on Celtics Pulse Twitter, so keep an eye out on that.
Do it up.
One thing that's important though is this team has to come out, you know, from the tip and give effort. You know, I don't want to see anybody taking plays off. I don't want to see kind of not hustling back and forth, because this, you know, Golden State will fucking destroy you if you do that. So I feel like if we
by
get,
the way, they, I just got a
West All Stars.
Yeah. we got Curry, Harden, LeBron, who's the captain, KD, and Paul George.
That'll be fun.
Hold on. LeBron is starting the fucking All-Star game?
Yeah, he's been hurt for a while, but he's the kinda best lame player in the last 30 years. He's the best player since Jordan, so whatever. But I mean, who would you have gone over him? Just quick, yeah. What do you think?
Luka.
Anybody who hasn't missed like 15 games.
Luka.
I don't know.
Luka, they're not even a playoff team.
Yes.
Nah, I love him.
He should have been the number one pick.
Well, yeah, I think that's easy to say.
Bro, DeAndre's been balling, dude. Look at DeAndre's number.
But it's also he plays with,
And the Suns have won a whopping, 9 games?
Yeah, well, Devin Booker, everybody loves him, and the kid fucking gets hurt every fucking day. Anyways,
do they have the East starters yet?
No, I haven't seen that, but If LeBron, like, let's say LeBron's still hurt and passes, who do you think starts?
Luka.